take as my text this morning the words that immediately precede the challenging gospel reading that we have just heard. Jesus says, "Unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." It's a very common misunderstanding to suppose that the scribes and the Pharisees were not very righteous at all. In fact, Jesus probably in that verse means them to represent the best of his contemporary religion. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the very best, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to explain in what way our righteousness needs to exceed theirs. It's a very common Christian misconception, fed by generations of Christian teaching, that the Pharisees didn't get grace. They only understood law. That they were fundamentally concerned with a narrow legalism. That they didn't grasp love and mercy. And that indeed, the caricature goes, is why they crucified Jesus or arranged his judicial murder. Because Jesus preached love and mercy, and the Pharisees hated those things so much that they had it in for Jesus. That's a deep misconception, which is one of the taproots of the church's long and deeply shameful history of Christian anti-Semitism, because in successive generations we've mapped that misunderstanding of the Pharisees onto our own Jewish neighbours in our own day. The Pharisees, they understood grace, they understood love, they understood mercy, they understood that God had been immensely gracious and loving and merciful in choosing his people Israel. They were responding to the demand that people had for a roadmap. Tell us how we should respond to this. Give us the rules. Show us how to behave. And so, drawing on the materials that are there in the Hebrew Bible, drawing on passages like today's first reading, the Pharisees proposed a detailed program of living, a way in which people could sanctify their lives and show themselves to be God's chosen people. And Jesus comes and he says this morning, actually you have to do something even more radical than that. It's not a case of do this and don't do that. Not a case of here's a fork in the road, choose this path rather than that path. He says that you have to discard the entire map system of navigating ethics, or perhaps one might today say the sat-nav system, the instruction that tells you to turn, take the second exit at this roundabout and turn onto that road. Instead, we're to live by a very simple compass. It's a compass whose needle is defined a little later in the Sermon on the Mount. Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that's the point at which you swallow hard. A compass needle that points you constantly in the direction of perfection. How on earth is that doable? How on earth is any of what we've just heard in this morning's gospel actually doable? Not murdering people, that's doable. However cross and frustrated I might be with somebody, whatever murderous fantasies I might harbour, I personally don't harbour murderous fantasies, but I think it's quite a normal thing to do so. That's one thing. Actually to murder someone, well, clear rule. But not even to have the thought cross your mind. Not even to look at another person and feel desire if that person's not your husband or your wife. How is that possible? The behavior of the body we can control. The inner impulses of the mind and the heart seem to be beyond our control. And one immediate consequence of observing that is to realize that there is no way in which we can live a Christian ethic in our own strength. We're simply thrown back upon the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God.